Today on Annenberg Radio News.
Somehow they've commingled the verbiage, you know, the language of what a mural is and what a billboard is, and it's overcomplicating the world for muralists.
A fight over advertising space in Los Angeles has some mural artists putting their paintbrushes away. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, February 26th. I'm Jonathan Horn. City Controller Laura Chick says Los Angeles is making headway in its approach to fighting gang violence. She released an audit of the anti-gang programs that were moved to the mayor's office last year. Gang-related crimes were down nearly 10% during the first 6 weeks of this year, and gang-related killings have dropped by 34%. Chick still wants to create an evaluation process for the department. Chick says the city has made a good start, but there is still more work to be done. A study released today may have immigration authorities reevaluating regulations. The nonprofit group Justice Strategy says local police officers are failing to only arrest serious immigrant criminals. Judith Green is a criminal justice policy analyst and co-author of the study.
Rather than focusing on serious crime, they're targeting day laborers and corn vendors, people who drive, you know, cars with broken taillights. And that was the consistent finding. The program is sold as a crime control measure, but in practice it's just being used to sweep law-abiding immigrants off the street.
The report says putting the burden on local police to arrest illegal immigrants is draining money and resources from police departments. An ex-convict was found guilty for murdering a South Los Angeles liquor store owner. Larry Stewart was convicted of murder, robbery, burglary, and grand theft. 58-year-old Sang Yoon, or Sam Kim, was found dead inside Kimbo's Liquor and Junior Market on East Vernon Avenue in 2005. He had been beaten, choked, and chemically burned. The jury will now decide whether to recommend the death penalty or life in prison. LA might soon have a new NFL stadium, but would still need to find a team. The industry city council today approved a proposal to build a football stadium. The plan would help developers start building the $800 million venue located 15 miles east of Los Angeles. President Obama introduced an overhaul of the nation's health care plan today. To show their support, members of the Service Employees International Union rallied in the City of Commerce. Here's Esther Pomeroy.
A new day is dawning. We now have a president who is fighting alongside of us for health care, for workers' rights, and for the Employee Free Choice Act.
President Obama's health care plan would cover an additional 48 million Americans. The Service Employees International Union is energized by what it sees as Obama's commitment to workers. Hundreds of union members met with United Healthcare Workers earlier today to urge solidarity in fighting for workers' rights. SEIU Executive Vice President Alessio Medina says union action is important in the wake of a recent state budget that he says unfairly benefits corporations.
And basically, it's the beginning of a campaign to fight back to make sure that things aren't done here on the back of workers.
Sudabeth O'Haley is a respiratory therapist in Marina Valley. She says that her hospital, which was recently bought by Kaiser, pays 30% less than nearby Kaiser hospitals.
The only thing they agreed to do for us was 6% increase over 2 years, which for most of us is less than a dollar in this economy. We've been waiting for 2 years for a raise.
So Haley came to the rally to ask other members of the union to support her hospital's efforts to increase wages. The SEIU has 2 million members nationwide, 700,000 of which are in California. Esther Pomeroy, Annenberg Radio News.
The Western Avenue Business Corridor will receive 100 new trees over the next few months in an effort to green the community. Adriana Venegas Chavez has more.
The shovels came out today along the Western Avenue corridor as the first of 100 trees went into the ground today. It's part of the citywide greening project. Councilmember Tom Laban says the trees are an important step in improving the image of the area.
To have a focus program to clean up the signage to have a tree program that has a reflective tree that blossoms, that brings color and life, will change the psychology of all those who come through here, because it will give power to the street.
The Greening Project is part of the Mayor's Million Trees initiative that hopes to turn a light into the largest green city in the country. Lisa Sarno works with the Mayor's Tree Initiative. She says the new trees will improve air quality and more.
Our signature projects are along major transportation corridors, because we know that all these cars are driving down the street. And of course, with trees, it helps to clean the air, and it also helps to calm traffic, and it increases, if you will, the businesses' services, goods and services.
Organizers say the new trees on Western Avenue will also increase property values, pedestrian foot traffic, and economic activity. Businesses along the corridor are also expected to help remove excess and illegal signs and banners to help reduce visual blight. Adriana Venegas-Chavez, Annenberg Radio News.
Temperatures will dip into the low 50s tonight here in Los Angeles, but will give way tomorrow to near perfection. A 72-degree, mostly sunny February Friday in Los Angeles. This weekend, it will get even warmer, with a high of 78 on Saturday and 74 on Sunday, lows in the 50s each evening. Later on Annenberg Radio News, we'll take a closer look at the city controller's race and some of the other issues on the ballot for the March 3rd election. Next Tuesday's election has an alphabet soup of initiatives on the ballot. Lata Pandya looks at how Measure E will help or hurt LA's business climate.
Next Tuesday, voters will decide on a measure that supporters hope will make Los Angeles more business-friendly. Measure E would amend the city charter in order to allow city officials to offer tax and other incentives to businesses without the LA City Council's approval. Currently, every new incentive has to be approved by the City Council. Jack Kaiser is an economist with the Los Angeles Economic Development Corporation. He says attracting businesses in this economic climate is very competitive, and he doesn't think that Los Angeles has been very good at it lately.
Well, if it does not pass, then it's business as usual. If it does pass, it's going to make it easier for the City of LA to retain businesses from going to other areas in Southern California or even thinking about going out of state. So it's just trying to make the city of Los Angeles more user-friendly to business, which is very, very important.
Howard Fine is a reporter with Los Angeles Business Journal who has written about Measure E. He says opponents fear it will allow the city to be too loose with taxpayers' dollars.
There are some who believe that any incentives that the city gives out are essentially unnecessary, that the businesses who are seeking to locate here or stay here would do so anyway without the incentives, and therefore it's just a giveaway of taxpayer dollars.
Some labor groups have also come out in opposition to Measure E, suggesting lax business incentives will not guarantee fair wages for workers. Lata Pandya, Annenberg Radio News.
On Tuesday, Los Angeles residents will go to the polls to choose candidates for a city government. The campaign to become LA's next city controller is one of the few competitive races on the ballot. Richie Duchon spoke to city controller Laura Chick about the issues that will face the city's next financial watchdog.
The city controller is exactly that, a watchdog. The controller's job is to keep track of exactly how the city spends money and whether it's doing it well. Over the last 8 years, City Controller Laura Chick has brought the job out of obscurity with hard-hitting, high-profile audits of city government. Now Chick has to leave office because of term limits, and she says she's leaving with some unfinished business.
In terms of reaching my goals of making this city a well-managed city, I have not been fully successful. It's been slow go.
With a projected budget shortfall of more than $400 million, the next city controller will be under great pressure to find wasteful spending in the departments of city government. The next controller will also face an ongoing legal battle with the city attorney.
The city attorney interprets the city charter, and this city attorney has interpreted the city charter in a very damaging way for the public and for the city controller's office.
At issue is whether the city charter gives the controller the power to audit programs run by elected city officials.
I'm very worried about the next city controller continuing that fight to clarify the city charter. If the city controller is best chums with the city attorney, they're less likely to be aggressive in these kinds of defendings of the public's right to transparency.
Chick says there are a few specific departments she would like to see the next controller take a careful look at. The LAPD is one of them.
I'm a great admirer of Chief Bratton as a law enforcement tactician, and he's done great things reducing crime, but LAPD costs an awful lot of money to run, and I think there's ways that we can run it more cost-effectively.
In order to take on the city attorney, the mayor, and other parts of city government, Chick says you need to have a certain style.
I would say that it needs to be both a courageous office, an independent office, an objective and professional office, and aggressive. Definitely aggressive.
Next Tuesday's election is a primary. If none of the candidates wins a majority, the top two will go head-to-head in a runoff May 19th. Richie Duchon, Annenberg Radio News.
To help us navigate Tuesday's city elections a little better, I spoke to the Pat Brown Institute of Public Affairs Executive Director, Jaime Regalado. I started by asking him why the city is only expecting an 18% voter turnout.
Well, it's typical. It's typical for a local race, and when there are no glamour kind of races around, in other words, it's not part of a statewide ballot, including the local races. There's no governor's race at the top of the ticket. The presidential race has already taken place. So when you only have local races, the turnout tends to be far less because there's less interest.
But isn't mayor a big deal?
It's a big deal when there's a competitive race.
Who are the 18% that you think are going to show up on Election Day?
The likely voters. And the likely voters will vote Antonio back in. They tend to be older voters. You'll get a sprinkling of youngsters this time, but not nearly as much as we saw in the Obama campaign. So the most typical voters, those who are middle-aged and older, those who have lived in the city for some time, and those who don't like to rock the boat a whole lot.
But at the same time, there's a lot of speculation that he might run for governor.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I think most of us know that Antonio would love to be governor, and so would all the other Democratic candidates that are lining up or suggested to be lining up, as well as those on the Republican side of the ticket, whether it's Meg Whitman, Steve Posner, or whatever. It's the highest run for and try to achieve in terms of elective politics in the state of California. So obviously that's a glamour race. And for Antonio, who's already been Assembly Speaker, there's not a Senate seat he's really looking at, state Senate seat, and especially after you've been Assembly Speaker, which arguably has been considered the second most powerful political position in the state, only second only to the governor, then the governor's race makes sense.
So if he does decide to pursue the governor, does get elected for that, what would happen to L.A.?
Generally, that question is asked in terms of the programs a mayor has set in place, tried to set in place, and how far along on a mayoral vision we've come down the pike. The mayor has started a number of things, but hasn't necessarily finished them because there aren't finished products. And usually it takes a mayor on big things, big items like this, at least 8 years to start to see results. There's going to be an unfinished record there.
At the same time, talking about progress, and it's been speculated that the frontrunner for city controller and city attorney and Mayor Villaraigosa have a good chemistry, are good friends. What are your thoughts on how that would affect things?
It would upset a bit of equilibrium, in other words, among citywide elected officials, but it wouldn't count for a whole lot, because actually those city officials pretty much make the records on their own, whether they get along with the mayor or not. The more important thing for the mayor is to have a controlled 8+ votes on the city council. So if a mayor has a coalition of support on his key issues on the city council, and this mayor does have that, very similar to what Bradley had during Bradley's 5 terms, then that's much more important than having a friend in the city attorney's office or in the city controller's office. Too much is made of that.
Thanks again, Jaime.
Thank you.
Jaime Regalado is the executive director of the Pat Brown Institute of Public Affairs at Cal State, L.A. LA's advertisers are battling for their rights to put up new billboards in the city. The city council has extended a temporary ban keeping new billboards from going up across LA. But as Caitlin Funero reports, a language mix-up is having unintended consequences for some of the city's artists.
Artist Ricardo Mendoza and his team of assistants are out in the bright sunlight installing a new mural on one of the city's bare concrete walls.
At one point, you want to have an impact on the built environment around you. Public artists are a little bit like architects that way. They want to build something that interacts, changes the built environment that we live in.
Mendoza's mural has been in the works for 5 years now. If he were starting on this project today, it would most likely be illegal. A ban on billboards to help limit advertising on LA's streets has lumped mural and street artists into the same category as advertisers, banning all mural art on private property along with it.
Currently, there's no way to distinguish a mural from a billboard or a super graphic.
Kuva Zakheim is an art conservator and art project manager. He's assisted in the installation and protection of hundreds of murals across Los Angeles. Artists who ignore the ban face their work being painted over by the city, or hefty fines that can total $1,000 a day.
Some people are still just putting up pieces, like a lot of the street artists, they don't really have much anticipation for longevity of their pieces, so it's not a problem. And then people like Ricardo Mendoza, I would imagine, just can't put up murals right now.
One of Zakheim's own projects is being put on the back burner because of the mural ban. He and a group of artists want to install temporary street art themed around hope and rejuvenation across South L.A.
It'll be difficult to do something effective that doesn't put the building owners and the artists at legal risk until it gets worked out.
The first part of Mendoza's mural is almost finished. As he spreads the last bit of adhesive to the bottom of the canvas, he seems baffled that the city could put his artwork in the category of commercial advertising.
The only thing they share in common is that they're two-dimensional graphic imagery. One is a content driven for sales and commerce, and the other is content driven hopefully for cultural progress or enlightenment in some way. Can't compare them.
The city admits the ban on murals is an issue of red tape. The Planning Commission is expected to consider new rules about billboards in a meeting on March 12th. Caitlin Finero, Annenberg Radio News.
Joseph Michael Killebrew knows a little something about art and taking it off the walls. He was arrested in Las Vegas today for stealing thousands of dollars in oil paintings from Laguna Beach art galleries. Killebrew stole the paintings in 1999 and was arrested at his Las Vegas home where he was living under a false name. The Laguna Beach galleries aren't the first to fall victim to Killebrew's schemes. He's also accused of stealing paintings from galleries in West Hollywood and San Diego. Now we check in with Skylar Kenny to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Skylar?
Thanks, John. A USC law student has launched a national campaign to fight for the release of a Southern California woman who's been behind bars for 2 decades. And more news on the campus of USC. A music student is being held on bail today after being charged with sexually molesting an 11-year-old girl during a violin lesson. We'll have all the details at 6 on Trojan Vision.
Thanks, Skylar. And in case you missed any of today's show, you can find it and other stories at annenbergradio.org. That wraps it up for today. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Jonathan Horn.